The reason people aren't financially free is they don't know what to do and they don't know where to start. I want you to join Joey and I at the Virtual Inner Circle Live, April the 4th through the 6th, as we share with you the exact answers to those questions. We only do this event one time per year. I don't want you to miss out. Go to wealthwalkwallstreet.com/live and enter promo code podcast. When you're at this event, you're going to get your investor DNA. You're going to get access to up to 6 different passive income strategies. So you know, leaving this event, exactly what to do, taking our decades of knowledge so that you can start becoming financially free. Go to wealthwalkwallstreet.com/live and enter the promo code podcast.
Joe, you were in the mortgage industry for 11 years. Some people might say my monthly mortgage payment is my largest expense. Would you agree with them?
Totally disagree. Yeah, taxes far outweigh that, especially when you think about over your entire lifetime.
I agree with that. And I know, just having gotten off the phone with our accountants last week, talking about our tax projection for 2020, I had a little throw up in my mouth, to be honest with you.
No doubt. And I think today's episode really hits on a lot of questions people have when they start learning about infinite banking. They start thinking about, how does it apply in how I pay down debt? How does it apply in creating passive income through short-term rentals or land flipping or whatever it may be? I mean, Nelson Nash talks about in his book that 34.5 cents out of every dollar is going to pay debt of some sort or finance charges. Well, the natural next step is, how does this apply to me paying taxes? I pay at least that much in taxes.
Yeah, I think that if you're thinking of, how do I use my dollars efficiently, then the natural next step, yeah, could be, how do I apply this to taxes? And if you're listening to our show for the first time, I want to always just help you understand where we're at. We're talking about a concept called infinite banking, and it's the use of dividend-paying life insurance policies to act as a financial engine. And today's subject matter is, how do we, or can we, pay our taxes by using these cash values? And Joey, we will break down the fact that this acts very similar to a savings account. So why couldn't we do that?
Exactly. Those are the kind of questions we're going to uncover today. We're going to talk about how profit first, that may be a whole new concept to you, but Mike McAllowitz's books, how we apply that in the way we pay taxes through these policies. We're going to talk about, should you start a policy just to pay taxes, or should it just be a part of a bigger piece? There's all different angles there. Let's kind of unpack all those in this episode.
Well, I think, too, the goal should be to expand our mind. And this episode, as all of these episodes are digging deeper into a very specific subject that some people will say is complex. I would just say it has details into it that we might want to uncover, right? Because if I can pay my taxes through an engine like this and get compounding interest on it for the rest of my life, it's possible that I might be in a better position. And that's the reason why we cover these subjects. And I want you to figure out, can you pay your taxes for your next life insurance policy? And this episode will help you figure that out. Let's belly up.
Welcome to the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast, your guide to understanding how to get out of the Wall Street rat race and start your own mailbox money lifestyle. Now, don't let these handsome Southern draws fool you. These financial minds are teaching our country to enhance savings, increase cash flow, and create passive income, all without the help of Wall Street. Are you ready to break through? Now here are your hosts, Russ Morgan and Joey Murray.
Welcome into the round table. I'm sitting here with my favorite fellas as we get ready to tackle another subject matter from the infinite banking concept, one that we've had a lot. This is actually the subject matter that I talked about initially when I first started doing infinite banking, and that's, how can I pay taxes, or can I pay taxes and use my life insurance policy as the funding mechanism? I'm one of your hosts today, Russ Morgan. I'm sitting next to downtown Ernie Brown here at the table. Good afternoon, Ernie. How are you?
Good afternoon. I'm great. Got my afternoon coffee, and so I'm doing really great.
I'm glad that you're pumped up. We can see that. Good to have you. On the other side of the table, I'm across from the $1 million smile, Mr. JD Hill. What's up, JD?
Hey, how's everybody doing?
I'm good, man. Have you ever paid taxes using a life insurance policy?
I have not paid taxes using a life insurance policy. No. I paid sales tax, not income tax.
Okay, then we'll still let you be a part of the discussion, but just know your points will be overridden by most of us as we talk.
Very good.
On the other side of the table, I got the man between two ferns. His shirt is darker, but not flowered arranged. Mark, our resident pilot, Haraguchi. What's up, Mark?
Oh, not much, guys. You know, the lighting is a little bit off. I'm sure it looks like I'm in a yellow-colored tinge, and that's because the wildfires on the Pacific Northwest are raging around me right now.
Yeah, I can see the plants in the background moving. Like, is that the smoke coming in from the windows, or?
Yeah. I got everything sealed up, shut tight, trying to make it an airtight so I can keep the smoke out.
Yeah, well, we're glad that you're
staying
safe.
Look like you're sweating, man.
I'm warm. Yeah.
Well, I knew in California they had decided that after, you know, a certain time in the afternoon, they want to shut off all appliances and just turn on fans and keep, you know, in order to conserve energy. Are they doing that in Washington as well?
Not to my knowledge, no. But there have been some areas where people have been evacuating just because the fire's getting a little too close.
All right. Well, speaking of paying taxes, I guess they need some taxes to be paid over in California and the West Coast to help fight those fires and to be able to pay for AC bills at Mark's house. All right. Across the other end of the table, my partner in crime, the Italian stallion, Mr. Joey Murray. What's up, Joey?
Howdy. Happy to be here.
By the way, if you've never got a chance to listen to our podcast and you heard Joey, the Italian stallion, say howdy, that's got to be a little odd. You're like, is he literally a stallion? Is he a riding cowboy? Or is he more like a Rocky Balboa? Because I don't think I would imagine Rocky Balboa has ever said howdy. Have you ever heard him say that?
I just said, yo, Adrian.
Howdy.
I mean, okay.
Joey, let's talk about paying taxes from our life insurance policies, or to be technically correct, against our life insurance policies, or using our life insurance policies. How does one do that? Or why would one want to do that?
Well, I don't know. Just as we were prepared for this, me and the guys were sitting around. First of all, we felt like it was important to clarify something very specifically. There are some people that would tell you to start a policy with the specific desire to pay taxes with that policy. Okay. So that's one strategy people have brought to the table as an idea. And then there's the second option would be, hey, I've got an existing policy that I have been saving, you know, putting cash in and utilizing for other things. Maybe I'm buying rental properties or, you know, starting businesses or whatever. And I can now, can I use that policy to pay my taxes? And those are two very distinct, different strategies. And I think we just need to clarify as we go throughout this episode that which one we're talking about, because I think there's very different ramifications for each one. So just kind of lead off with that. But at the end of the day, what do you think it is that when people are asking that question, Mark, like the reason for why I want to pay taxes through my policy. First of all, what do you think their reasoning is? Why are they wanting to do that from your perspective?
Well, if people are following, you know, I guess my train of thought on that topic is if I'm funneling the majority, if not all of my free and available cash flow back into my policies to pay down those outstanding loans that are against my cash value, then all my free cash is now actually being used to bump down those total balances. So when the tax bill comes due, which I'll speak to the second portion, which is utilizing my policies to pay my taxes, I actually got hit with a clerical error on my taxes for 2019. There was a miscommunication as to a piece of equipment that was depreciated, and all of a sudden we realized we owed $30,000.
Uh-oh.
And I naturally don't have $30,000 laying around underneath the couch, in the wallet, or underneath the mattress. But because I use all my cash flow to pay down my outstanding balances to get that daily balance as low as possible, that's where my resources were at. So I just called up the insurance company. We initiated a loan against that, and we turned around and funneled that right back to the IRS.
Well, it's a good thing you don't keep it underneath the mattress, considering all the forest fires out there, too. Yeah. Right?
I mean, I could fan myself with it, but, you know.
Not a good place.
Cut down on AC costs.
Did you?
Funky funds.
Ernie, when he said that, did that make perfect sense? Is what he was talking about when he said he pays down, takes all his free cash flow and pays down his loans? Like, you've been educating our listeners on how they use these policies. How would actually someone facilitate what Mark did? I mean, this is the technical part, but I think this is what this podcast is about, is like really kind of getting in the weeds and helping people understand how to do that. How does someone actually pay down a loan on a regular basis?
Yeah. What the position that Mark is in is the position that some people listening to this would be in, which is they've got policies that are maybe a couple years old, have got value in them, have taken loans already. So existing loan balance, and that creates an opportunity in what cash flow can't fit into premium. What Mark's doing, the rest can go back to pay down the loan. So in that sense, it's very simple. So yes, that makes sense to me, but really makes sense for the person who has a policy that already exists, has already got a loan against it. And then what can't fit in premium can fit in loan repayment.
So how though, like practically, how does someone pay down a loan? What are the steps one needs to do in order to make that happen?
Well, it's not difficult.
Okay.
In that you as the owner get to dictate exactly how you want to do that. We know where the cash has got to end back up. It's going to the insurance company. So how do we make the payment?
Yep.
That's maybe two ways to make it simple. One, the insurance company is happy to set up a direct draft repayment. But the way that we coach our folks to do it is make use of your bank's bill pay. Create the insurance company as a payee. In the memo, put in a memo line your policy number. They know where it's going. And then dictate that it's a loan repayment. And from there, it's very simple. You as the owner of the policy, full control. You send back whatever amount you want on a monthly basis. Start, stop it. You're using your bill pay, so you can do that.
And there's actually a third option too. It's not for every company. I think that's probably why you didn't mention it, but there, you can actually go online with some of these insurance companies and self-select a loan repayment. Am I correct in that?
Yeah, if you're doing it over time, if you're doing that onesie twosies.
Yeah.
But if we're doing this every single month,
it's probably better to set it up on a monthly basis.
Yeah.
All right. I think it's always good to clarify, Joey, how the hamburger is made, right? I mean, we've already gotten to the point at this stage. You're listening to this podcast. This isn't the how do I get financially free passive income podcast, right? That's what our Thursday episode's about, is teaching the specific methods that people are using to create cash flow so that they can actually live the life and create the life worth living. We're really knee deep in the control aspect, and more specifically, how to use the infinite banking concept to do that. So the other option though, we said, is that someone is going to prepare some sort of strategy to pay taxes. What would be some other strategies outside of what Mark is doing with his own that you've seen people use their life insurance policies as a means to paying down taxes?
I think what it is, first of all, let me just back up a second from your question, Russ. I think when people start understanding infinite banking and they start seeing that their cash has a cost, right? There's an opportunity cost to all the large expenses in life. So they start with paying cars, let's say. They say, oh man, well, if I were to save in this policy, borrow against it and buy all my cars, which you just go in line with what Nelson says in his book, and you see the vast difference of the two sisters in the middle of the book. And you say, wow, I don't want to be the sister that pays cash. I want to be the one that's using the policy, and I get all this opportunity cost done away with. I get to benefit from it. Then naturally your brain goes to, well, what else do I have? That's a big expense. And if you're self-employed, you're writing a big check every year. And you say, well, is there a way I could put my tax dollars through a policy and not give up that lost opportunity cost? Does that make sense? So I think I just want to put this in the right perspective as to why people are asking us this question. And first of all, do you resonate with that? And then second of all, how can we practically do that?
Yeah, let's talk about the practical way someone would do that. So let's we would discuss Mark's option, and Ernie did a great job of saying this is usually the way Mark's doing it. Someone who's had a policy for a couple of years, have taken loans out, maybe they bought some rental property, maybe they set up a land flipping business or short-term rental business, and they've got their money deployed and it's creating cash flow, it's coming back to them, but there's still, you know, a pretty large gap between how much their cash value is in their loan. So they have some dollars, they have something they can use it for. So I can see that strategy. But on the other end, we get people that are like, I want to start this from day one. JD, what would be a way that someone practically could start this on day one? And a bigger question, is it the right thing to do?
Well, I think that depends on, you know, your cash flow. You know, the way that you would start this from day one, I think would be, setting up the policy to, you know, with some sort of a lump sum, you know, to jumpstart the PUAs, but you would be in effect using this policy to just consistently pay your taxes from, and then continue to fund the policy with additional dollars going forward. So you wouldn't actually be repaying the loan, necessarily in this instance, if you're going to use it specifically for tax purposes, with the intention though of having a big windfall in the future, right? So if you're an entrepreneur and you're going to be selling a business, or if you're going to be expecting some sort of an inheritance or having some sort of a windfall that you know is going to happen in the future, this is a really nice way to design a policy, not only to satisfy the legalized debt that the government, you know, puts on all of us in terms of, you know, tax dollars, but then to be able to have a place to store dollars that are coming in the future without having to actually start a new policy.
I love that. All right, Mark, I'm gonna stop you for just a second, JD. I'm gonna come to you, Mark, on that. So what would be the benefit for someone to start what JD just said? Setting up a policy, taking a loan against it to pay their taxes, and creating a loan balance, right? And obviously he kind of gave a description. I was on a call today with a dentist. He and his wife, they're planning to sell their dental practice in the next 6 to 7 years. We already have a value. We already know what that money's going to be worth. So we've got a place for it to go. We know how big of a loan balance we could pay off at that future date. But what's the win for somebody? Why does somebody do that? How would that be beneficial to them?
Well, that's the windfall.
Yeah, but now, why is having a windfall in the future, how does that benefit you today or in the future?
The way I'm looking at it is they've created a place that has a debt. There is a loan outstanding against it. Now they know in the future they're going to sell the practice. There's a windfall coming in. They haven't had to make any payments on that loan up until this point. So their business has been able to free flow. It's been moving along. Now you're taking that windfall, you're satisfying that obligation, and they're walking out the door free and clear.
Yeah. All right, Joey, well, jump in there. What else would you say to that?
Well, so I would say what you've done effectively is you have really started it, growing a tree 7 years ago, 10 years ago, 20, however long that windfall process takes. We always, you know, you hear the old proverb is, when's the best time to plant a tree? Is 20 years ago. The next best time is today. In that case, you've actually effectively been able to plant that tree in preparation that it's going to be fruitful at that point. So in your case, you're saying 6 or 7 years, you were able to start a policy 7 years prior to that windfall coming in and have a place for it to go. Whereas the alternative would be, you wait the 6 or 7 years, now you have this big influx of cash and nowhere to put it. And we subsequently have, you know, we subsequently have to start putting that policy in place then, and we've lost time. Time is the enemy in that case.
Yeah. Well, I love what you guys both are getting at is that, yes, we want to have a windfall. We want to have a place for the money in the future, but there's also other elements that we're not even touching on. What have you ever, JD, how long have you been in this business?
11 to 12 years.
In the 11 to 12 years, have you ever had somebody who wanted to get a life insurance policy to set up exactly what we're talking about? Not just life insurance for the sake of life insurance, but man, I want something that's going to grow every single year, guaranteed, that's going to run without the government's access to it through taxes, through creditors, any of that stuff. I get all of those benefits, and there's no limit to how much money I can put in other than one thing, and that's my inability or my ability to get and qualify for life insurance. Have in 11 or 12 years, have you ever had anybody not be able to qualify for life insurance?
Just this week. Yeah. An individual, 32 years old, declined. So it happens more times than you would think, unfortunately.
By the way, that's a huge hazard of this show. Like, if you're listening to us and you're like, you guys are starting to make some sense. I know you've got a redneck accent and Joey throws random comments in there that I don't always understand coherently. But this is starting to resonate.
Isn't that the redneck accent?
And I want to do this thing. And you come to us and you're saying, let's go. Here's my cash flow. I want to start this process. You're excited. You know exactly what you want and why you want it. And then all of a sudden, you sit down at the table with the insurance company and they say, I'm sorry. Can you imagine? Like, I didn't know about this before, right? And then I started it and I was pissed that nobody had told me about this prior to, 2009. But I was at least able to start, And so I look back and go, man, I wish I would have had those years back. But can you imagine the hazard of creating the excitement in someone, Ernie, of what this could do for their, not only their life, but their kids and grandkids and so forth and so on. And then all of a sudden they get to the point in time and they can't do it because they're not insurable.
Unfortunately, it JD said it happened to him this week. It's happened to me a couple of times over the past couple of months. And those are really sad conversations to have on both ends.
It sucks
that someone can't do what they want to do. And we can't help somebody do what they want to do.
And this is, again, just a tool, right? The life insurance is just a tool. We're talking about different methods in order to grow our wealth and ways that we can get this tool to work for us, and how paying down taxes and use it to pay in for taxes is a great way. But man, that's something that I think that gets missed and not always discussed. You want to jump in there?
Well, I just want to add one quick thing. So if you're listening to this show and you have not already joined our inner circle, there's something we've been talking about, this whole windfall process of how taxes can be paid through a policy. And within the inner circle, when you join, you also get access to our IBC 201 course, where we have specific videos about windfall. So if you're hearing it and you're like, okay, kind of makes sense, but I need to see something, get in the inner circle and look at that IBC 201 videos on windfalls. I really feel like it'll help bring this all together. We have a 7-day free trial right now anyway, so you shouldn't miss out on that. But
it's a no-brainer.
But let's get into this really quick, Russ, for a second. The other side of paying taxes through a policy, number one, we get this question, well, is there a way for me to save on taxes today by paying them through a policy? And I want to clarify that message. I think that's a question that comes up a lot. What would you say to that, Russ?
Ask your question one more time.
Can I mitigate my tax burden today by using a policy to pay the taxes, or, in some way or shape or form, save on my tax burden today?
Well, so a life insurance policy, and I don't know if I'm answering it exactly your question correctly, so come back to me. I don't always listen to you very well. But the thing I'm thinking of is like, when we put money in a life insurance policy, we're paying with after-tax dollars. So this is not a deferral mechanism from, like, if you have a 401k or an IRA, you put money in there and the government gives you this nice, hey, by the way, you get a tax holiday, and that holiday is going to end sometime in the future, and that's when we're going to let you know how big the bill is for your trip, right? And as we know, this is National Lampoon's, European vacation style that our government's on right now. It's probably not going to end well. You're going to be the guy on the bike getting hit, right? So I'm thinking that if that's your question, is that where you're going?
Yeah, exactly. I just want to make sure that's clear. Like, this is not a quote-unquote tax loophole that, oh, if I start paying for things, or if I pay for it out of my business in such a way, now I can deduct that and I don't have to pay tax in the future. That is not what we're talking about. We're talking about physically taking the dollars that would be going to pay taxes and borrowing from our policy to pay them as a strategy. I just want to be clear on that.
All right. So is it okay if I give an example that I've personally done since JD didn't do it? I wanted to share one that I've done.
That's twice now. That's twice now.
Okay. The $1 million smile, I didn't say anything else. And you still have the smile. So here's an example. So my second policy, and I've shared this policy on many different events we've done, Joey. I started a policy, Ernie, for $25,000 a year. It was a little over $2,000 a month.
What year?
In 2010. January of 2010, I started this policy. And my whole objective was to say, okay, at the time, that was my tax bill that year, was roughly $25,000. And I was like, all right, so my option is, I knew as being a self-employed individual, I needed to be putting money aside. And for most people, they just put it in a checking account. And they just save it up. And then maybe when the quarterly estimate comes, they send it off. Now, some, because they're worried that maybe their business will have slumps. And you might imagine someone that was really fairly new in the industry still at that point in time, had a wife that just started a dental practice that was going the opposite way as far as profitability, that I was a little bit nervous about sending off money, maybe thinking I might need it. And I knew it was going to cost me, right? I knew that if I didn't pay my quarterly estimates, the government was going to charge me. Now, I don't know if you guys know this, and I'm not a tax professional. I'm only giving you what I learned through this process. So it may have changed. And if it has, ask your accountant what this process is. But I learned at that time it cost roughly 1.9% if I avoided paying the quarterly estimates and I paid it by April 15th the next year. So the cost for me not to send in my quarterly payments was 1.9%. Now, to me, being a fairly new business owner, my wife being a brand new business owner, the access to money over that 12-month period of time was worth 1.9%. Because if there was 1 month that she couldn't make payroll, we needed to make it, right? Now, I knew that it wasn't going to be 12 months of not being able to make payroll, and there'd be 1 month where she'd do really well. But there could be that 1 month. And I think as business owners, we've all had at least one of those months early on in our business. And so I was like, all right, I'm going to just stick this money into this insurance policy. And then come next April, I'm going to take a loan against it and I'm going to have enough to pay my bill. And that's the way I set it up. It was just in my head. This is the only purpose. Now, I also knew that my income, I was praying that my income was going to grow, right? And my tax bill was going to be, I was going to start adding zeros to that tax bill. And this was before Joey and I met CPS and they started subtracting zeros off our tax bill, thankfully.
But
I also knew, is what we were talking about earlier, is I wanted to plant that seed because I wanted that thing to grow as long as I possibly could. Now I'm sitting here 10 years after that and I look at that policy and the policy is actually, when I put a dollar in, it's growing by a little more than $2. Now there's no checking account that you've ever put money in for your tax payment that did that, has it? But it's been doing that as a process. In addition, it gave me a little over $1 million of death benefit. So if something were to happen to me, that was worth the 1.9% penalty, wasn't it? I mean, my wife is going to be in a much better situation. And considering the stress I was under during that time, it was a high likelihood that that could have happened. So that was a real example. Now, What happened is I've had some windfalls, right? I've sold some businesses. I've sold some condos. Recently sold a lake house. All of these things create windfalls that I needed to go back. And so I've since then gone and shoved back all the money back into that policy, and it's no longer has a loan against it. But it was something that was easy for me to see. And I've loved that thought process, is that I'm willing to give up the 1.9. Now, by the way, I did learn this the hard way. Could you believe, guys, that there was a year where I needed money past April 15th? And I
really? Just one?
I was not in position to be able to just send all that money to them on April 15th. So I decided to take a little holiday on that. And they came back and got me, and I went back and I added it up, and my penalties and interest went from 1.9 upwards of almost 9%. So it was a little bit expensive to go past April. So I try not to do that this year. Thankfully the government let me extend it to July 15th without any penalty. And I took advantage of that, but I don't know if that helps, but that's just an actual situation that I've personally been doing for the last 10 years.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. And what you did there is you actually started it with the intent to use it specifically for your tax bill. And then there's been other cases where, like, for instance, in my case, I just use it like what Mark gave the example of earlier. It's like this big line of credit. I have it out. I have it loaned out for other investments. And now this is just where I store the cash to pay the tax bill every year. And when it comes tax time, I have a place, I go borrow against it, and I pay it off. But in the meantime, those savings for taxes are reducing the interest on that loan against my policies as a means to make it more efficient.
Ernie, can someone make money by taking loans against their policy just to pay taxes? Is that a strategy that they can actually grow their wealth by?
No.
I'm glad that we are covering that, because do you know that there's actually people in our industry that will say that borrowing money against your life insurance policy can make you rich? That's not possible.
There are people that are saying that. It doesn't make sense. Yeah.
And so I just want to be really clear that what we're saying is if you started the insurance policy, I did say that policy doubled over 10 years, that the amount of, I'm getting a double the growth of my input, but there still is an expense against that money the whole time. And I've been incurring that expense. And we always have to offset the opportunity cost. We have to look at it. So that's why we're always trying to figure out what is my dollar's highest and best use and how can I get it to do something. So when we're business owners and we can invest in our businesses, and if we're not outpacing 2 to 10%, we probably need to choose a different business, or we need to go get a business coach fast, right? I mean, when we see our businesses growing 20, 50, 100%. And we're constantly coaching people that are doing that. If you have access to money, that's why these insurance policies and using it for things like this make sense. It's not that you're making money through the loan, you're making money through the use of the money. And I just want to be really clear, because I think sometimes that gets
right.
So as we wrap up here, JD, what else would you like to throw in there as a parting shot?
I think that final point is so crucial. You can't spend your way into prosperity, right? Like that's not possible to spend money and consume and somehow create wealth by consuming. It just doesn't work that way. You know, you have to be creating in order to be able to build wealth.
Mark?
I think it's important for everyone to recognize, you know, we've talked about two specific like optics on this. But, you know, it really depends on where are you at in your stage. And that's going to help dictate which process is appropriate for you or that would probably do better for you until we move into the next phase, and then we can implement a different strategy.
Yeah, and I'd add as well, if you have gotten to the point where you're taking control enough that you're specifically setting aside cash for taxes, which I say if you're not doing that, you need to take control fast. But if you're doing that, you can do that in an IBC policy. And if you do that in an IBC policy, you are gaining over the long run efficiency with your dollars. If we can make incremental degrees of increased efficiency over time, we're going to blow away what we can do in a checking savings account. And that's really what we're talking about. And then we have to be creative on how can we create a strategy where we have a policy that can do that.
All right, Joey.
And let me
bring us home.
Well, yeah, before we land the plane here, two things. One, this may expand your mind to think, okay, to answer that question, why do people have so many policies? It's because, oh, wow, well, I just realized I've got this big cash flow going over here for taxes. Maybe that should be a part of my system. And so, oh, there goes a new policy. So just if you've been wondering that could definitely be a part of this. But the second thing is we actually have a report that Carlos Lara, one of our mentors and people in the Nelson Nash Institute, has created about an IBC tax strategy. It's a three-part series. But for Inner Circle members, we're going to make that available in the Inner Circle. And I just want to make sure people know, if you want to have something, it's a very in-depth study. I do not recommend it for light reading. It would definitely be something you're going to want to dive into over a very long period of time. But it's one of those things where he gives an example of somebody putting in $100,000 a year for their tax bill, and then another business owner, $1.5 million a year. And it's just kind of eye-opening as he's laid out the plan And he uses the windfall opportunity we mentioned. So I just want to make sure that everybody knows that's going to be in the inner circle. And Russ, you can finalize it here.
All right. Well, if you're not already a member, as Joey said earlier, you actually can get in there for free. Now, it's limited. It's 7 days. So you better take advantage of all 7 days because there's tons of content in there. Case studies, as you already notated, there is actually ways that you can interact with the insurance companies. Ernie has done an amazing job of laying out how these insurance companies interact with us and the policies, and just guides upon guides to show you what to do. But more importantly, it's just access to people who are doing this. And I always get the question, well, who else is doing this? I don't know anybody else is doing this. Well, come into the inner circle. Ask, what are you doing? How are you doing it? Now, these are not paid individuals. These are testimonies that they freely give if they give them, which I think is the best. Because sometimes you go on websites, you see, man, I've been working with Jim and he's the best. I love him. He's great. And you find out later, Jim's his brother and, you know, they've known each other for 60 years. He's never going to say anything bad about Jim. But when you come in the inner circle, you get to ask those questions. You get to find out what people are doing and how they're doing it. And I think there's the value of expanding your network and exposing yourself to ideas. So take advantage of the free circle, free trial in our inner circle. Go to wealthwithoutwallstreet.com/innercircle. Until next week, we will see you later.
This has been the Wealth Without Wall Street podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to the show to break free of the Wall Street mindset and begin building wealth on your own terms in places you understand so that your wealth will never run dry. See you next episode.